Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Drive is live, and thanks for the handoff. The fellas at Twin Peaks, they should probably sit around and have another drink or three.
Yeah.
Just enjoy themselves. Why not? We'll get you updated here. The Astros are trailing 2-1 right now, but Alex Bregman is back. Alex Bregman, however, he is not playing in the field. He is DHing today, but back in the lineup, leading off with Jose Altuve in the lineup, or not in the lineup today at second. He led off today and led this sucker off with a Breggy bomb. Can I hear that bad boy? Can I hear that bad boy? He led this thing off, and I was wondering.
I was in the car. I ain't heard it yet.
Yeah,
Ron.
I was wondering. I know it's August. August is his month. And he had 5 home runs in 12 games in the month of August, and we know he's missed the last 5 games. But it was 1-0. The Red Sox were leading, and then Alex Bregman came up to the plate.
Leadoff hitter against Criswell, and he drills one to left field. That's gone! Welcome back, Breggy! Into the Crawford boxes, a tie at 1.
As if he never left. Still scorching hot. He likes it spicy in August. Breggy bomb to get things going.
Shout out to my guy, Alex Bregman.
There you go. Appreciate that, CJ. Yes, that is a big shot coming right on in. Welcome on back, Alex Bregman, as he goes deep immediately in this game. But they trail 2-1 right now. Verlander has thrown a lot of pitches. I don't know how much longer he is going to stay in it. He had his first pretty easy inning in the third, as they as they're in the bottom of the third right now. But he's well over 50 pitches at this point, and we'll see how long he goes in this game. But that is the update here, 2-1, as the Astros look to win this series against the Red Sox.
Oh, panty dropper up to the up at the plate with first and second, two
it's
outs.
A panty dropper.
Yeah, let's see what we can do. See if he can come up with a big hit to try to
drop him, Pena,
to at least get this thing tied. Maybe even more coming up. All right, a lot to get to today. Brandon Scott coming up at 4:40 with his Texans report. Steezy. So stay tuned for that. And Clint was out at practice. We'll get his thoughts real quick. But I gotta address this with Tyler. I don't think I've ever heard this before. Before we were walking out, Tyler said his ears get hot. And it happens every summer. He's had blood work. He's done everything. I have never, like, I want you
they
to
turn red too. You can tell.
Like, I want you to describe, like, they just, you're like, all of a sudden, nothing else on your head. It just, your ears just get fiery hot and, like, uncomfortably
are
hot.
They red right now?
They all look red.
Yeah, they're red.
Are they red?
Yeah, they're red.
Yeah.
I have never experienced or heard of it.
I wish I did.
My ears being hot.
I think my ears have gotten hot before, but I think there was a reason. Like, I either had a beanie hat on and it was over my ears.
Somebody was talking about you.
Or somebody hit them or something. You know, like if you graze, you hit your ear on something, it gets hot. Not just randomly in the studio when it's.
But you said it happens every summer. This is a yearly thing.
Well, y'all know, and maybe some of the Drive family don't, but I'm mega hot natured, dude. Like, I'm really just always hot, so summers just suck for me. And once it gets to this point, this hot as hell August in Houston, Texas, things start happening.
But it's just the ears. Wow.
I mean, the rest of me is hot, but I can really feel my ears burning. And it's bothersome.
Doctors out there, 713-572-4610. Medical professionals, anybody out there listening? Is there anybody maybe have an ear fetish? You studied the ears a bit. Is there what's going on with Tyler?
Like, I never just sit there and be like, damn, man, my ears are on fire, man.
It happens to me a lot in the evenings, like sitting in my living room. Like, all of a sudden,
like
my ears
all
are just
think, like every
has,
night.
Do you think it has anything to do with your energy drink issue?
It's possible. I do have a high consumption of caffeine.
I got to tell you, big changes. Feel great without the energy drinks. Haven't had one since.
You've seemed low energy this week.
And my doctor, I haven't had one since. And that was weeks ago.
I hadn't had one in five plus weeks right here. Picked this up on the way. A little 5-hour energy. Took one little pull off of first one in damn near 6 weeks.
Good for you.
I don't even know why I did, to be honest with you.
I didn't know, man. I feel pretty good about it.
I feel great.
Without knocking it down, and maybe some changes. That would be a damn thing if it was like, if Tyler just stopped with the monsters and then his ears just became regular temperature.
Well,
that would be an amazing.
I mean, I'd be asleep though.
Look, it wouldn't shock me one bit if I've seen Tyler take a 5-hour energy to the head and wash it down with a monster. So it wouldn't surprise me one bit if it wasn't.
No, he's
some
never,
kind.
I
of,
can't
he,
deny
no,
it.
Never done. You've done it.
I've watched
multiple
him do it
days.
Within the last week.
Like, you take a 5-hour energy drink, and then you...
That's when I start sipping on my monster.
Oh, I don't know. I've seen it.
I know it's bad, dude, by the way. Like, I'm not sitting here in denial. I acting like this caffeine stuff isn't bad for me, but it is what it is.
Someone suggested maybe menopause is what you're going through right now.
I still got all my ovaries and fallopian tubes and such.
Good one, dude. Good one, Texter.
I mean, things do change as we get older, T. I know you're a little young punk.
Yeah,
but
be ready for
change,
that low T read coming. Maybe he needs to go to low T.
No, my testosterone is through the damn roof.
Well, do you know?
Have you seen the hair I produce on my body?
I mean, I'm still hairier than all get out. I mine was low. I'm telling you. Do you know your number?
Hey, fellas,
if you don't know your number, your ass is missing out now. Get down to Low T Center. Get that number in check now.
Go down to my guy down at
Kenny?
Kenny, out there in the Katy location, man. He'll take care of your ass.
Even young dudes like me.
Slide through there, Tyler.
I'm telling you, I don't know.
See what that blood work looks like.
When I went to Low T, for some reason, that Powerade they gave me, I don't know what that, like when I walked in the door.
That free Powerade?
They threw that Powerade at me. Like that, I was like, this is where I'm supposed to be.
Is it blue?
These guys,
I don't know. They
know me already.
It was small.
Blue Powerade is
amazing. It was like they did research. I'm an orange Powerade. They knew my color.
What?
Bam.
Blue Powerade's the only way to go.
I'm not a big fan of the blue.
That's the only power.
Nothing out there to our Crips that listen. I'm not a big, I like the blue flavor for me. Like I'm orange first. I really started to like the grape, and I'm thinking this Gatorade too. I've really started to like the grape and then red. The lemon lime stuff, I don't like that at all.
Orange, red, and lemon lime. I'll take you to three. You can have the blue. You can have the grape.
Like the blue,
you can have
man.
All these new exotic flavors.
I'll take that cherry glacier. That's kind of that hits
good.
A little bit. That
is
clear
good.
One. But yeah, I'm orange first. It was like, but it was like they knew. They tossed that orange. And I said, damn.
Hey, the drinks and the snack. All joking aside, the options.
Oh, they have
the
it for
options
you.
In the Low T Lounge. Especially.
I'm telling you, man, they have it for you. Ooh, wow. Didn't know we was getting that. Low T got a little extra today. All right. Astros continue to trail 2-1. We'll keep you updated. Verlander starting his fourth inning at 58 pitches right now. All right, Clint, you were out at training camp today.
Yeah.
This is the final practice before they meet the Rams in a joint practice. We'll be at tomorrow, the only one day they're doing it. But you were out there today – Give me a couple of things that jumped out to you. A couple of things that that jumped for you. Hey, and start with, like, hey, right now, you know what they need. All right, our listeners need positive first.
No.
No, stop it.
I don't give a damn what they need. They're going to get positive, for real.
And our listeners need positive first, okay?
Luckily, on my list, the first bullet is extremely positive. Kamari Lassiter in team drills today, and if I'm being honest, over the last 2 weeks, has just kind of chipped wood, just continued to be in the right place and kind of open eyes. I'm not ready to give him Stingley treatment. I'm not giving him Stingley treatment. I'm not real sure where I sit at this point with Kamari Lassiter, but there's no doubt in what you see, man. And today seemed to be a pretty physical day. Ones versus which
lends towards him.
Lot of ones versus ones with C.J. Stroud and company out there. I mean, all the receivers were go. Dalton Schultz, I think, was go. Everybody was go. And I looked up, and it was your classic outside receivers going to run off the corner. In other words, just take him as deep as you can get him and get him to turn his head and chase you. And that way that'll open up the out route by the inside receiver or kind of a corner route by the inside receiver. And CJ overthrew Diggs. Should have never threw the ball, but he overthrew Diggs, tried to fit it in, overthrew him. And Kamari Lassiter, with his eyes in the right place, he peeled off of Tank Dell on the go route and just sat right there and caught that INT. It was a headsy, very headsy play.
Second one of the camp.
Yeah, very headsy play for the young fella. And then they flip it around and they go another team period, and they're going to run Tank Dell on just a real quick out route and just get a cheap 4 or 5 yards real quick. And Lassiter ran a route for him. Got a pass breakup. On the out of bounds right there. It was an impressive two plays. It wasn't two plays in a row, but it was an impressive two reps for Kamari Lassiter in a very short period of time. Man, I'm telling you, the kid is looking better, man. You're seeing some flashes now. Is he going to be able to sit on routes in the game? We'll see. Is he going to be able to run with guys down the sideline in the game? We'll see. But for right now,
okay, I can't wait to see tomorrow. Puka Nacua,
and
Cooper Kupp and those tomorrow, guys. Yeah. Some of those guys. That's going to be fun.
Joint practice tomorrow.
Joint practice
right,
tomorrow. Yeah. Want to be fun to see. To see, as you said, like, you've been through it. We've seen this. I've covered NFL teams for over 10 years. Like, you can get in training camp at some point. Like, some of these guys start knowing these routes.
Sure. And there's some of that going on, and
know that, which is helpful. This one here. You know, that's why, to me, the preseason games and joint practices are a little interesting, too, because, you know, they don't really know exactly what the Rams are running. They're not, they come out, it could be a lot of different
Well, they don't
things.
Know the tendency of the offense. Yes. They don't know the telltales of every receiver, when he's going to drop his weight, when he's going to turn inside, when he's going to turn outside. They don't know what his favorite routes are and have been this camp. And so, yeah, it's going to be a different animal. You're right. Tomorrow's joint practice will be a must-see for me, and I think Kamari Lassiter's at the top of that list in terms of who you're watching.
These
definitely.
Are some receivers, and this is a quarterback yep. that is kind of in line with some of the guys they're going to face.
That's right.
Face today. So Kamari Lassiter, he's one of them. What else you see today?
Just generally speaking, Joe Mixon's back out there with the ones, and he's big and moving well, man. He's just impressive. He looks good. Looks ready.
You're not coming off of your best running back you've seen in this uniform.
No, I'm not. Not at all.
Let's get it on, baby.
I'm not at all. Now I'm a little concerned about how well received that's going to be given this offensive line, because now we got to get to a negative. Do you want to go here, or did you want me to hold this one for later?
No. I want you to go ahead and go.
I don't know. And maybe this is a new age thing.
So this is big, because Mixon looked good behind what.
Well, I mean,
he
didn't,
thought this was.
Yeah, when I say Mixon looked good, I'm just talking about, forget the scheme or the result of the play. He finishes every rep right, running down the field, full speed, and it's a big, good looking thoroughbred running down that sucker. Boy, he is a horse now. He's a big one. He's going to be fun to watch if they can get this thing right. But on the flip side. I don't know about – well, I do know, Ron. Hell, I know you ain't that damn young. You know, back in the day, man, when offense or defense, when you just had a terrible rep, just a rep where you're just like, what in the hell was that?
Everybody on the field knew it.
We're going to line that thing back. Oh, I can't even remember the term coach used to use. We're going to run this one again.
Did it last night with the Southside Saints.
Yeah, we're going to line up, man. What the hell are y'all doing? We're going to do this again. Man, there was two run plays today in the team period. And these were within a matter of four or five plays together. So I'm not saying the whole practice was this way. I'm just saying, it happens right in front of DeMeco Ryans. C.J. Stroud turns around, hands that thing to Joe Mixon, and there are two white jerseys scot-free. Like, I'm not talking about somebody was on their hip and pushing them wide and trying to give Joe. Just completely, like I don't know if everybody went the wrong way. I don't know what the hell happened.
We don't like that.
We just huddled up. I mean, it was awful. We huddled up and run another play. And it wasn't, it had to be two or three plays later.
It was something that was so, because you could see it's addressed on film. You could see it could be addressed in film. But it was so much so for you, you're like, yo, we got to stop and talk about this right now.
Well, yeah,
we
got to
clean this up right now.
Somebody, and it's multiple, it sounds like, looks like, was completely wrong and didn't understand their assignment. Now let's line up and do this again to make sure that we get this assignment. And it wasn't three plays later. Joe Mixon on a little toss, a little outside play to the left. The same thing. I mean, it's two or three white jerseys, scot-free back there. And I'm just going, how do you, given what we've watched, and this offensive line has got to be better, man. They've got to be just, I mean,
this is the ones, I take it, if
yes,
Joe Mixon was out
there. Yeah, Joe Mixon was out there. I mean, it's just, I understand in a game of football at the NFL level, you ain't going to block up every damn run play. But damn it, in practice, we can at least not give two to three interior defensive players, in-the-box players, free runs at our running back as he's catching the ball or he's touching the ball. I mean, we would have been doing laps back in the day. Me, Ron, they just said, hey, Clint, take your offensive line, take Ron at center, take his ass too, and y'all do a lap and come on back. I mean, it would have been. I see. I put you at center. I probably should have put you at running back. I could have done put you running.
I've never had that position.
Well, I mean, I could at least give Digi a solid right there. But yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, it's just kind of ho hum. Let's keep this thing rolling. Let's keep practice on track. Wait a minute, man. What are we doing? And I can't see what's going on. I don't know. I'm just watching. I got a nice little view from behind the team, and I'm watching. I'm just like, how do the coaches? How do we not have four coaches unloading on whatever the hell just happened? And I know times have changed. I know I'm old school, but damn. And then when you watch the film, that's exactly what happens. Too much penetration, guys not getting off double teams and get up to the second level, too much run through. And at some point in time, Bobby Slowick and DeMeco are going to have to move off of the man we're close stuff.
Yeah, that's the part of it. It does mirror more of what we saw last year than something new this year. But we see that. And I know I said that the other day, is just far too many times. And this is with the first unit, the second unit, mm-hmm. the third unit. And I'll repeat, like at some point, because we've been watching this for 2 years, it's almost like, are they teaching it this way?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
you know what I mean?
I don't know if they are or not, but your question is very justifiable.
You know what I mean? I don't believe that Bobby Slowick and company are teaching it this way. But you look at it and you're like, how do we see so many guys that are just, that appear to be, look like they're left free?
Yeah.
Just running through. Like, and how you miss guys so much so.
Well, even if you, because a lot of times you can chalk it up to, let's say, DeMeco Ryans, because we heard Dalton Schultz yesterday talk about DeMeco Ryans' defense is suffocating, basically. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. And maybe we can chalk it up to just, hey, man, if we were playing in a real game, we'd play action over the top. We'd do some things to take advantage of it. But even if that's the case, like, okay, DeMeco, call the dogs off and let's back up a little bit and let's see what this run game looks like versus a front where we should get a hat on a hat.
Yeah, like somebody just texted in, the O-line isn't nasty enough to run the ball. See, I'm not going to argue that.
Hello.
But from what I'm seeing and what you're saying and what you're seeing, it's something even before you get to the nastiness.
I agree.
It is something with, yeah. Like, and I was joking when I said this about my son's Little League football team, but I'm working with the O-line and D-line. And a lot of times I just say to him, do you know who you have?
Yep.
Walk up to the line. Point to him. Who you? Sometimes it seems like when we the amount of guys we see running free, it's not even getting to a nastiness point. It is getting to a execution point.
100%.
And it's, you know, it's odd. With guys that have been here over a year.
The odd part is you just see so, like, guys.
But before we get to the nasty part, like,
yeah, no, I agree with that point. I just don't think that a Laremy Tunsil, Titus Howard led group is going to be just like Trent Williams and the 49ers. Like, you're just not going to get that. But what I'm talking about is just like guys. Like allowing at the point of attack, allowing a guy to split a double team. Guys clearly have control, and you're passing off the double team so that you can get to the second level, and you're late or you're on time, and you just run right by the linebacker and as if you didn't see. Like, there's just way too many like mistakes like that just they doom every run damn near.
Yeah.
Right, and it's not gonna be perfect every time. I get it. I'm not asking for it. Just happens way too much with this group.
All right, I think this is a place we can kind of stay because I know you watch the all 22 on every single run play that Damian Pierce had yesterday.
Yep,
or on Saturday,
all four of them.
And I know you watched it, and we'll just say it was whatever you walked into thinking before you watched it. It was worse. It was worse. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, Damian, we got to get him some ops in the game. You know, let's get him some more ops running the football. But Damian's done a great job out here at practice. I don't think everybody's seen that in the game because, you know, when he had his opportunities, we got guys unblocked in the hole, so he doesn't have a chance to really get started. So, you know, we just have to give him more opportunities, but we have to block it better up front so he does have the opportunities to make some plays in a running game.
He said it twice, Clint. He said it twice.
What's
to
that?
The offensive line. We got to block it better. You haven't seen that a lot in the games because it's not being blocked well for him. All right, you sat and watched. You did a lot here with the four. What do you have? Four or five runs?
Four runs.
Four carries. You did a lot with the four carries he had on Saturday in the game, and against the Giants. And you looked at this. You watched the all 22. You took it to another guy who is a coach, and it was as bad as you thought it was going to be when you watched it live, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, it was just I would just expect more out of both the offensive line and out of Damian Pierce.
So it's both. It's both having almost an equal hold on.
Yeah, well, it's just two different conversations, Ron. At the end of the day, I don't want to muddy the waters in either conversation, right? I mean, if we want to talk about Damian Pierce, the truth of the matter is that he's not been good. Whether we're talking about when it is blocked up and there's a crease and you run up Kenyon Green's tail end instead of getting a crease, would it have been a home run, hit you head on the goalpost? No, but it'd have been a 5-6 yard gain. And with his ability, once he gets to the second level, who knows what would happen? But instead, you run up Kenyon Green's tail end. And you know, the outside zone play to the right, the first run he had, where there's clearly a guy unblocked in the hole, which, by the way, I got a real problem with the way that Bobby Slowick and company have had that blocked up and have the receiver's going to block a safety that at the snap of the ball is 15 yards deep.
Dang it, Bobby.
And he's running right by a corner that's up on the line of scrimmage, and you're leaving a corner and a linebacker both unblocked. You don't have enough guys. It schematically was a bad scheme. But if you look at how it all worked out, if Damian Pierce dips inside where the unblocked defender is and then bounces it outside where the guard had pulled and took the corner instead of the linebacker inside, then you've got, again, a chance where 5-6 yards, maybe a big play down the sideline. But instead, he just runs right into the unblocked guy. So, you know, flat out, there ain't no way around. D'Amico can dance around it all he wants with Damian Pierce. There's no doubt about it that as an offensive coach for damn sure, you watch it and you go, we need more out of the guy we're handing the football to. You can't, in the red zone from the 10-yard line, you can't create a crease where you can go get 5 yards and instead we run up the offensive lineman's tail end. Like, if you want to bounce it outside and even take that guess or think that maybe the right, okay, then bounce it outside. You can't run up his tail. I mean, it's that easy. You can't you can't trip him. You can't run. So there's and Damian Pierce, and one of the plays is a looks like a power play. So it's a G scheme where they're pulling a tight end and a guard. I think it's a guard and a tight end, and he just passes up the tight end. Like, doesn't follow the tight end, doesn't lead. So it's one of those where it's just with Damian Pierce, there is clearly something missing than from what we've seen with particularly Cam Akers at this point in time. Last year it was Devin Singletary, and now it's Cam Akers. So I think he's got to be better.
You're seeing both. I mean, we talked about what you saw today, but you're also on this on the all 22 on the film. You're seeing it from it being him, but also it being the guys up front.
That's
what D'Amico said in that cut we just played.
Like, there is no doubt about it, without a doubt. I mean, can you? You know, the play where they were backed up coming out of the end zone, for those that paid that close attention, and the two ends collapsed on him. Look, the fullback completely whiffs on blocking Brian Burns. You don't even have to – all you got to do is get in his way. Like, don't just completely whiff, and you've got to play there. And he just completely whiffs. And Brian Burns is in the hole, makes DP adjust, and it's a no-gain kind of deal, or whatever the result ended up being. Could Kenyon Green on that play inside the 10-yard line, I was just talking about where he ran up his butt, could Kenyon Green maybe be a little more decisive and either kick him out or log him? Yeah, sure he could be, right? And so there's things like that throughout where you just, as a whole, it's easy to sit around and go, man, we're close. It's like we said last year, you turn the film on, You turn every week. You turn the film on. It's a different guy. It's the tackle. It's the guard. It's the fullback. It's the tight end. You're not close. You're not close. It's not close. So, they've definitely got to block it up better. But it's not going to be consistent until Damian Pierce gets better and they block it up better. Both of them are two big concerns. I mean, the thought is that Joe Mixon will be a big upgrade. Joe Mixon will be able to make guys miss. But again, to your point that you made earlier in the week, is like your run game can't depend on, you know, a running back having to avoid contact 2 or 3 yards deep in the backfield every damn play.
Text line coming up. You let me get this straight. You kept Laster on trial, but you give Pierce a pass. Okay. I don't think you're listening to
keep Lassiter on trial.
I don't think you're listening to the show. I just spent
10 minutes talking about how Pierce has got to be significantly better and giving you specific examples of how he was bad.
Yeah, you said that,
I'm not giving anybody a pass. He's on the verge of getting cut.
You said Cam Akers
should be too.
Has passed him up. I said they need to move on from each other.
Yeah, I mean,
how did you? I'm a, you know what, listener? I'm not gonna put that on. I'm gonna listen back to that. I'm gonna see how that could have been confusing to you that we gave Damian Pierce a pass. Not giving Damian Pierce a pass or the guys up front a pass with things like that.
Yeah, it's a good point. Nobody, even D'Amico didn't get a pass right there.
No, D'Amico, Bobby didn't get a pass. This passing game is insane. It's nuts. And they're gonna do a whole lot and hurt a lot of defense with that passing game. That run game, they got to get it to a space where it's productive enough to at least keep people honest.
It's not the fullback. It's the tight end. If it's not the tight end, it's the tackle.
Somebody slipped. Every time. Damn, somebody slipped. Oh,
or the running back didn't hit the right hole. Yeah, I mean, it's always something.
Dang, just got around just that quick. All right, coming up, Verlander has really come back in this game and looks, I think, no matter what happens in today's game, you got to be extremely happy with what he's done. He is finished. We'll give you an update on that. And the Astros are doing something that I love and hope they continue as they head to the playoffs. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Call third strike. JV starts and ends the inning with a strikeout. He's got four in the game, and he inches one closer to Max Scherzer for top 10 all time.
Listen, I really didn't know what to expect from Verlander. I mean, he knew he was going to battle.
Verlander.
Thanks for that. Because that's what Verlander does. But the 41-year-old, I believe his final start with Corpus, his pitch count was 57. And that's as far as he went over four innings. The first two innings, he finished with 41 pitches. And I remember saying to you guys as we were prepping for the show, boy, I don't know how much longer he's going to be able to go, what his pitch count is. Well, he was able to go five innings, and he started to really get it together after that second inning and feel himself.
Bird's
after
gonna
that.
Be first.
He threw 76 pitches today, five innings, four hits, two earned runs, six strikeouts. I believe Tyler made some money off of that, to one walk.
Cha-ching!
So that's the first outing out. Got up to almost 80 pitches, five innings in that against a... Like if you've seen the series, you've watched the series, you've watched the Boston Red Sox, they are a team that makes pitchers work. Kikuchi's pitch count got up. Everybody's pitch count has gotten up in this series because of their approach at the plate, 1-9. And to see him come back, settle down, and be really, really damn near dominant in the third, fourth, and fifth inning and get them through five, was big from Verlander. That's the story. No matter what happens, that's the story of the game.
Yeah, no doubt, man. 95 plus on his 76 yep. pitch, his last pitch today in this game. He was actually getting stronger as the game yep. went along, but the pitch count caught up with him. So, yeah, big. I mean, great. Regardless of how this game regardless of how it turns out, this is a big day for the Astros, getting Verlander back into rotation and him dealing.
Yeah, he looked after that. Those first couple innings, and the thing that he is really great at is his ability to minimize damage. When he gets in trouble, when he gets and has problems, his ability to minimize damage is insane. And, you know, you look up there and you'll see, boy, it could have been three runs, could have been four runs, could have been a crooked number, and he's able to kind of bear down when he needs to, even coming back. So this looks good. They're going to go to a six-man rotation because I'm telling you, that fella last night may need that more than anybody. Ronel Blanco is. He's on fumes. I think he's, outside of Framber, thrown the most innings of anybody on the team this year, and they need that from him. So big. All right, I'm looking up at the plate right now, Yiner Diaz, who is rolling right now. And today, he is playing first base again. And I just would throw this out. I think that this should be the thought that he gets the second hit of the game just now. I think this is the move and the spot that they should press forward right here at first base. I think you've talked about a lot of times their best lineup, and I think defensively there isn't a big shift. He'll, they might gain something at least behind the plate a little bit. But I think they should let him learn first base as much as he could, so hopefully he can get better with things that happened the other night on that throw from Altuve. But it seems to me like Caratini and him in the lineup together is potentially the best that they can put out there with those two, with all these guys. And I would even entertain bringing up Salazar to have a third catcher and have whoever is playing the Litmus Diaz and Gray Kessinger role that just is never going to get in the game and play. I would rather have that, a third catcher up here, because I think clearly he is coming on offensively. I think it probably helps keep his legs playing first base. And as I said, I think it's their best lineup. I love the idea of him being at first base and having Caratini in there too.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I just don't know how. Definitely with Kyle Tucker out, and hell, let's be honest, Bregman's been out for five games. With those guys out,
yep,
and with Tucker still out, I mean, I don't know how you leave Caratini on the pine. I don't know how, with all the tinkering that they are obviously very comfortable with doing in both corner outfield spots. And first base, and I guess you can throw catcher in there, given that Salazar and Caratini and Diaz have all caught. They are obviously extremely comfortable in moving guys around, trying new things. I can't push back on you, Ron. I agree with you, man. I'd love to see Diaz and Caratini in this lineup. And I'd like to see it even
when Tucker comes back.
I agree. But for me, it's now with where we're at with Tucker out. You almost have to just to give the lineup a little bit of length and get another bat in there.
And I think these last 30, 35, however many games they got left to get him as much experience at playing at first base right now before you get to the games that matter in the postseason. That to me should be what the thought and the build is. And you've got first baseman that you don't want to play.
Yeah.
And you know you don't.
Well, you've shown that.
Yes.
Just rotating these guys through there.
And we get it, though. You get it with Singleton, and maybe the Zach DiZenzo thing has kind of run its course a little bit. And get that guy's bat in there. Caratini has swung the bat in a place that he's earned it and almost forced it. And you think, God, boy, do I want to have Caratini in there four times at the plate? Or do I want to have Zach DiZenzo or John Singleton in there four times?
Yeah.
Right there. So to me, that's a decision I hope they continue to push forward. Our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, Clint.
Hey, Ron, real quick before we get off our T-Mobile baseball talk. I'm very rarely in at the Major League Baseball level.
Shortstop and stop during your tricks.
Multiple times today.
He plays center field.
That last play was ridiculous on
Pena.
That was
Pena running.
I mean, this kid, and you talk, I mean, he's flashed three times in this game. He's a smaller cat, and when he throws the ball, he has to throw it with every bit of his being.
He's got a gun.
And he is, I mean,
Rafaela.
This dude's special, man.
No, he plays short and center.
Good.
And
God.
He's as good in center as he is in short.
Well, I'm going to tell you, man, he's nasty. That's a fun watch, man.
He's nasty. I know you were out at camp today, and you and Seth had Seth Payne. Catch him every morning right here on Sports Radio 610 Painting Pendergrass, 6 to 10 a.m. You all had an interesting conversation about Jalen Petrie, who I'm starting to feel a lot better about and get excited about based on what we've been seeing.
I feel really good about it. Seth and I had a good conversation, and it just got me to thinking, man. I mean, you know, Seth's thought of you know, how do you, you know, how are they going to use him? Is he going to be able to handle the man-to-man coverages and just the overall, how's Jalen Petrie going to look at nickel defender? It just got me to thinking. And Seth's question was more about, because, you know, he said, hey, man, have you been able to pay much attention to what Jalen Petrie's doing from a standpoint of, is he physical, getting up at the line of scrimmage and bump and run and getting, you know, again, getting him up there in their face? And so we went back and forth about that. But the overall point is, it got me to thinking of, like, he's not going to have a choice. Like with Tavier Thomas, it was like, I don't think anybody in their right mind thought we were going to play man with him out there for the most part, unless we were forced to do it. But it was play soft, play man, come downhill, play the run, be physical kind of deal. When I look at Jalen Petrie, the way in which Jalen Petrie is going to have to be used is up and in the face of the tight end, up and in the face of the split end or the slot receiver. He's going to have to be that way. I don't care what you do off of it, right? Like, I don't care if you play man. I don't care if you pressure. I don't care if you back up and play zone. But he's not going to be a guy that you can set at 8 to 10, you know, 8 yards, 7, 8 yards deep and then just kind of react. Because everything Jalen Petrie brings to the table, like the reason that Jalen Petrie has a chance to be special is, first and foremost, the instincts around whether it's a run blitz or just simply playing the run, or it's a pressure where he's in a blitz package to go get a sack. Like, you can't bluff those things from 7 yards.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Like, nobody ever thought Tavier Thomas was a threat I mean, obviously he's a football player. They thought it, but just like I'm talking about, like constantly knowing where Jalen Petrie is, because he can either play man, get physical at the line of scrimmage, he can pressure, he can play, he can trigger and play the run immediately, or he can bail and play zone. I guess my overall point is Jalen Petrie's going to be an in-your-face kind of defender, regardless of what they do on the back end. You can't protect him the way you can't. Because what makes him special are those pressures, and you can't pressure from 7 yards deep.
And you can't. And he's going to have – I mean, that's the deal of, like, playing there. He's going to have to.
Yeah.
He's going to have to do it because you – one, also, as you said, you can't use him in the way that makes him, as you said, special. But also, you can't just sit there and just make it very, very easy for – think about the quarterbacks on their schedule. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen – Trevor Lawrence,
Aaron Rodgers,
Jared Goff, Dak Prescott. You can't make it easy for those guys to know what coverage you're going to be in every time Jalen Petrie is in the game.
You can't get 8 games into the season, Ron, and be like, hey, if Jalen Petrie is playing a certain technique, there's 75% pressure. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You've got to show a look. A good chunk of the time, and then be able to do anything out of that look. And I think that look that you show more times than not, again, to cater to or play to his strengths, which are the pressures and the play and the run off the physically off the line of scrimmage, you're going to have to be an up in the face kind of guy. I mean, there's no choice, there's no way around it. I mean, your tendencies are going to show if you don't.
Yeah. No, yeah, it is, and that's the big thing is, like, you may be able to got they may be able to go to have gotten away with a little bit last year when you think about some of the quarterbacks and the guys they played last year. What did they get to about 8 or 9 weeks before Tavier Thomas started to understand? Hey, when he's in the game, it's zone, Jack. But you can't. I mean, you just can't do that against good offensive coordinators.
But you can't do that with Jalen Petrie. Right? Yeah. I mean, because Jalen Petrie, because he's playing left-handed. Now he's playing to his weakness, right? The strength and the scary part of Jalen Petrie is he'll be on top of your quarterback before you know it. He'll be hitting your running back in the backfield as the exchange happens, right? You can't pose that threat from regardless of what you end up doing.
Or he's making a play like the pick six he got Saturday.
Yes.
Where he's right on top of the receiver.
Yes, yes. Like, you just can't consistently pose that threat from sitting back playing the Tavier Thomas way.
Seth Payne is... got a knife to us as he's walking by. I don't know why he just walked past the window with a knife like that. He's going to stab all of us. All right. Coming up.
I lopped it off when I was 17.
There it is. Big three at three, as we'll get you updated on what's going on with the Astros in this game and some pregame info from the manager, Joe Espada. We'll get you ready with all of that coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.